As long as it's the third Sunday of the first week of the third month, we're good. On a Tuesday, right? If you've got a Bible, grab it and turn to John chapter 5. I don't know why I'm doing that. John chapter 5, starting in verse 1, reads this way. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. And these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the movement of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I was coming, another one steps down before me." Let me read that again, and maybe I can read it with the right inflection. The sick man said and answered to him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I was coming, another man steps in before me." And Jesus said to him, "Go and pick up your pallet and walk." Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Now it was a Sabbath on that day, so the Jews were saying to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not permissible for you to carry your pallet." But he answered to them, "He who made me well was the one who said to me, 'Pick up your pallet and walk.'" And they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Pick up your pallet and walk?'" But the man who was healed did not know who he was, for Jesus had slipped away while there was a crowd in that place. Afterward, Jesus found in the temple and said to him, "Behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. For this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But he answered to them, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." Father, thank you for your word. Father, thank you for the truth that's found in it. Lord, I pray that today you would make us well in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me remind you, as I do all the time, I'm really not preaching to you. So if you get your feelings hurt tonight, that wasn't me. I'm preaching to me. It's who I'm always preaching to. And so if tonight, for real, if you get your feelings hurt, know that you can yell at me if you want to, but my feelings are going to be hurt already. Because the Lord has really dealt with me in this. Matter of fact, this isn't what I planned on preaching until yesterday. And as I began to study, I told Pastor what I was going to preach. And the Lord just kind of said, "That's not what you want to do. This is what I want you to do." And so as I began to read it and begin to study it, the Lord really pressed upon my heart and pressed upon me what I needed to be about and who I need to be and what my problem was. And so I want to just go back to the story and remind you that Jesus has gone on a journey. And you know, if you remember John chapter 3, he meets with Nicodemus at night, tells Nicodemus, "You must be born again to see the kingdom of God." John chapter 4, he meets with a woman at a well. While he's resting, he gets water and ends up saving several people in the village who believed in Jesus, not just because of the testimony of the woman, but also then believed because they heard and saw with their own eyes and their own ears. Jesus doing miraculous works as he goes through these villages. And he gets to this place. And while he's there, he finds this man at the pool of Bethesda. What an amazing place this had to have been. Not a place of mysticism, a place where people watched people get healed and walk out. People who were carried in, then walked out. And here's a man sitting there, laying down, can barely move, and Jesus walks up to him and asks him a very simple and yet condemning question. Or convicting question, I should say. Not condemning, convicting. Do you want to be well? Church, I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you want to be well? Because here's the thing. I'm not asking you, do you want to be clean? It's not what I'm asking you. Let me remind you what Scripture says about you as if you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, you are already clean. I'm not asking you that. If you're not in Christ tonight, not only are you not clean, but you're also not well. So it's really two questions. If you're not in Christ, you need to become clean before you'll ever become well. But if you're in Christ, you're already clean, and yet you can be sick. My son today, on the way up to church, we were listening to the Levitical law. Leviticus 13. I challenge you this week, don't read it. You will not read the whole thing. I challenge you, just go listen to Leviticus 13. You will think the record's skipping. See, if I said that in the church I'm going to, they'll go, "What's a record?" Anyway, just you know, one of my favorite jokes is, "Your mama's so fat she walked in the room and the radio skipped." But this generation goes, "What's that mean?" Anyway, so if you listen to Leviticus 13, you won't have a... I mean, it'll sound like it's skipping because it just says the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, because it's making clear what you had to do to become clean. And if you weren't clean, you couldn't enter the temple. And not only could you not enter the temple, but to add insult to injury, you had to wear clothes that were ripped... Isn't that funny? All the young people now want to wear ripped clothes. But you had to wear ripped clothes, and then you had to walk around yelling, "Unclean! Unclean! Unclean!" Man, that's ugly. How would you feel if you had to walk around and tell people why this week you weren't ready and willing to get into God's presence? Luster, adulterer, drunk. You know, we go to groups called alcoholics. We don't want nobody to know what our problems are, much less walk around and scream it out. But here's the thing. I think the part that God was trying to do is when they were calling out unclean, unclean, they were reminded who they were, so that if God ever made them well, maybe they would scream out, "Clean!" And so, Jesus asks the question, do you want to get well? So church, I want you just for a moment to think about two things. First of all, have you truly surrendered your life to Jesus? I know it sounds like we're going to the invitation. Just wait for it. You know me, we ain't there yet. I want you to think of two things. Number one, have you truly surrendered your life to Jesus as Lord? Forget all of the religious duties you've ever done. Have you ever completely surrendered your life to Jesus as Lord? If you have not, then you are unclean. You're unclean. Nothing you can do about it except give your life to Jesus. And we're going to give you the opportunity to do that tonight. But understand, let me explain how that works. Peter was having the Lord's Supper with Jesus. Jesus walks around and he's washing their feet. And Peter says, "Lord, you're not washing my feet." He says, if I don't wash your feet, then you don't have any part in my ministry. He said, "Well, in that case, buddy, wash all of me." And Jesus said, "I don't need to wash all of you because you're already clean." You see, Jesus and having a relationship with him causes us to be clean. No matter our situation, we are clean in him. But clean does not mean well. There are still problems in my life. I still struggle in anger. I still struggle in lust. The things in my life that used to take hold of me, the devil is still reminding me of them all the time. Still trying. Matter of fact, he doesn't just do it to me. Something Lori will say to me will then interject into my life and cause me to want to do something even more. The devil knows how to get to me. One of the reasons he knows how to get to me is because I'm still not well. There's still stuff in me that needs to be cleaned further. I need to go to a physician. "Doc, where yet?" "Doc, I need to come see you. There's stuff that's not well in me." We sing the song, "It is well with my soul." That, you know why we can sing that song? Because we know we've been cleaned. But my flesh is still not well. And so the Lord just really put into my life this week, "John, do you really want to be well?" And here's why I think the Lord did that to me. Because I ask the Lord all the time, Lord, what do I need to do to get rid of my anger? I just want it to be gone. I would like for my children to yell at me and me just be able to go, see, but luck's not the answer. And you can read a bunch of books. If you watch the movie Bad Boys, they'll tell you, rub your ears and say, woosah, woosah. I've tried that. That does not work. There are self-help books all over the internet. There's Christian books, How to Live Your Best Life Now. They're great motivational books to help you work the flesh out and watch them. None of them really work. Because all it takes is my child to yell at me one more time, and woosah is going to happen in the backside of their ta-ta. There you go. Something. Because at some point, I can't handle it anymore. And so, I've continued to ask the Lord year after year after, Lord, why don't you just take this from me? Who's ever asked the Lord that? How many of you the Lord just took it? See, watch this. Now, see, none of you raised your hand, but watch this. How many of you have asked God to take something from me, and he did take it? But isn't it interesting that the one thing remains and he didn't take it? I'll never forget, I was with a young man who was my brother's roommate. And let's just say he was not a godly man. Let's just leave it there. He and my brother both liked the company of ladies. And one day I was sitting with him, and the Lord said to me, this man has a problem and he's a homosexual. Everything in me, that's the feeling I got. And I thought, well, you can tell him. Because number one, I knew that wasn't true. I knew this man had a problem with women, not men. And so he began to walk away, and I just read Jeremiah where the Bible says, if I give you my word and if you don't speak it, I'll make you fearful before them. And as he walked around the corner, I felt like I came off the skyscraper at Astroworld. I mean, everything in me felt like it was going, like fear. And I said, come back. And he came back, and I said, you know, God, I really feel like God just wanted me to tell you that he knows that you're homosexual and it's not okay. And I was prepared for the hit, you know. And what he said to me, he said, nobody knows that. And I said, not only does not nobody know that, I didn't know that. How are you always with girls? He goes, yeah, well, it's not okay to be homosexual, so I have to put up a front. And so then I asked him this question. I said, do you want to be homosexual? He said, well, no. He said, who wants to be something where everybody looks at you like this? I said, you want to be well? He said, yeah. And so I said, let me ask you a question. If the Lord took this from you, what would you need the Lord for then? He goes, nothing, nothing at all, nothing, nothing at all. And I said, that's why God won't take it. It is the thing that drives you back to the Father to say, I need you. You see, when I gave my life to Jesus, I became clean. And if cleanliness is all there is, I don't need him anymore. I'll see you in heaven, Lord. Let me do my own thing. I am clean because I'm in Christ. But that doesn't mean I'm well. It might be well with my soul, but it ain't well with my flesh. And the minute I think it is well with my flesh is the moment I'm failing in my sin again. Because pride cometh before the fall. Go ahead and tell the devil one time, ooh, got you on this one, I'm done with that. Yeah, okay. And so there's a big difference between clean and well. And so with this young man, I asked him that question, and his answer was yes. And it reminded me in my own life that there are so many things that I want God to just take from me. And I'd ask him over and over again, God, why won't you just take this? And he said, John, it is the thing that you're going to have to rely on me. You see, John, my grace is sufficient for you. And so then I would go back to the Lord, and I'd say, okay, Lord, what do I need to do then? And the answer is always the same. Always this, and it frustrates me. The answer is spend time with me, John. Just spend time with me. No, God, you don't understand. What I want to do is I need for you to help me not yell. So can you just stop my mouth as it starts? No, John. I'll change your mouth by changing your heart. Spend time with me. Lord, what I want is when things aren't well at home, I don't want the old lifestyle in my head to kick back up. All right, you want that to change? Watch this, John. Out of the overflow of the heart comes every wicked thing. You want to change what you think about? Change what you spend time doing. Spend time with me. But here's the thing. Why don't I do that? Why don't I just spend more time with him? I'll tell you why. Because you see, when I want to spend time with the Lord, there's a TV show that's on. Or man, I'm a little tired tonight. And I need to get some sleep because tomorrow I got a big day. Well, I would do it right now, but my kids need my help. I would do it right now, but I got to go to church. I would do it right now, but. This man, Jesus said to him, do you want to be well? And he said, yeah, but every time the water is stirred, I can't get in it. And I keep wondering, this is what I've always wanted when I read this story. If you really wanted to be well, why aren't you standing on the edge? Huh, Dave, there, see, I pulled that back in, baby. Why aren't you standing on the edge? If you can't stand, why aren't you laying on the edge? If you see the water start to stir, roll over. Then if you get beat, you just say, help, I'm drowning. Somebody let me out. See, y'all didn't think about that till just now, huh? He can't move or walk, but if he rolls in, he drowns. Anyway, but you know, there's some faith there. I mean, I want you to think about the reality of what I'm talking about. If a man can't walk and he can't move his arms and nobody will help him in the pool and he's laying on the, if he says, lay me on the edge and I'll roll my head over and get in the water, if he's not first, he might drown. There's a cost to being well. There's a sacrifice to being well. You've got to be willing to put something on the line. I love when David is sacrificing to the Lord and he's offered the threshold. He says, I will not sacrifice the Lord my God with an offering that costs me nothing. If we want to be well, it's going to cost us something. And the one thing we're not willing to give up is time. Because in America, time is money. In Africa, time is nothing. They get up so early and go to bed so late, and if they say we're going to meet at 10, that means somewhere around 12 or 12:30 or 2. And then if you start at 2, that means you're going to be done at maybe tomorrow. You just don't know because time doesn't mean anything to them. Relationship means something. That's the reason I think in Africa the gospel spreads quicker than it does here. Because relationship is what they want to be in. What we want is time. I will give you, John, I will give you 10 minutes of my time. In Africa, they'll give you the whole day if you ever get with them. Because it's about relationship. And so then when you share with them that Jesus wants a relationship with them, they no longer put a time on it. They say, I just want to spend time with Jesus. And so if we want to be people who are not just clean, but well spiritually, it's going to cost us some time. It's going to cost us some energy. It might cost us some relationships. But I can promise you it's going to cost something you don't want to give up. Because if you were okay with giving it up, you'd have done it a long time ago. So Jesus says, do you want to be well? He gives his excuse. Sir, I have no man to do it. Every time I'm coming, another man steps before me. And Jesus looks at him. I love this verse. Jesus looks at him and says, Do you want to be well? Yeah, but I can't do it because this. Okay, you sure you want to be well? Yes, because of this. Then get up. Let me say it again. Get up. Take up your mat and walk. In other words, healing is coming right now, but you got to move. Oh, you mean I got to get in the water? No, I didn't say anything about the water. Just get up and go. And I'm reminded about in Christ, we are so spoiled people. As you walk through Leviticus and it walks you through all these things you have to do, I love that my son finally just yelled out, just take a bath. You know why we think that way? Because that's how easy it is for a Christian. Just confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's easy for us. In the Old Testament, man, they had to... Man, I wish I... I'm not going to read it because it would take the rest of my sermon time. But, I mean... You got to rub some ointment on your ear and then all the way down to your toe and then your big finger and then kill one dove and sprinkle the blood on a second dove and let the dove go. And then you got to walk here and walk there. And then if that, it's crazy. It's all symbolic. God had a plan. Don't get me wrong. But here's my point. Jesus took care of all of that for us. So that we could just live clean. And then he said, now that you're clean, do you want to be well? Since now you're my child, you have the ability to be well. Do you want to be well, church? The answer is to spend time with him. So I want to show you a couple verses. Revelation chapter 3. Now, before you turn there, real quick, read verse 3 of John 5. In these lay a multitude of those who are sick, blind, lame, and withered. Now turn to Revelation chapter 3. Verse 14 says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say this. You say, I'm rich and I've become wealthy and I have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He was speaking to the church. You are clean because of what Christ did for you. But you are wretched, poor, blind, naked. You have got all this stuff that has made you sick. And what has made you sick is because you are no longer doing for anybody but you, because you are worried about you. When you and I become inward focused, God makes sure that we have a problem on the inward. So that we have to look upward. And then he'll cause us to move outward. Listen, there's something in this whole passage where I love the fact that these men would have somebody help. If they couldn't get there, they would have somebody take them and lay them down by the water. Because they knew they had a condition that wasn't well. Everybody got me? See, the difference is these men laying by the waterside, they weren't just well, they were also unclean. They were neither well nor clean. Now in Revelation 3, you've got a church. A church should be clean. Ecclesia, called out. Called out of what? Called out of darkness. Called out of sin. Called out of the world. We are Christians. We are bought with a price. And now these people are called the very same thing. Yes, they're clean, but they are not well. And so here they are now. God says to them, I need you to know something. You are not well. And so I tell you that you need to do something. Look at Revelation 3. I want to read it. I'll tell you what he says. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich. White garments so that you may clothe yourself and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. The eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. Those whom I love, I discipline. God says, here's the thing. You are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked, and the world has no answers for you. There is no doctor on the face of this earth. No anonymous group on the face of this earth. No book that you can read other than the Bible. No church service. Not even the church can answer the need you have. Matter of fact, I think it's one of the problems we have in church today is we think the answer is found in the pastor. The pastor gives the word, he has the answer. But he ain't the answer. You and I have to find our answer and find our way, find our position in Jesus Christ. He's the only one who has anything for sale that works. And so, Jesus tells him in Revelation 3, that whatever your condition is, I have the answer. And the answer is not found in going to do something. The answer is coming and getting something from me. Isaiah chapter 6. The people of Israel are in a great war. Assyria is trying to take over all of the land. And they don't know what they're going to do. And they're really deciding, who do they want to side with? Do they want to side with Egypt or they want to side with Syria? So that Assyria doesn't take them over. Which I told, I preached this not very long ago at Everyday. And it interests me that why would you ever want to choose Egypt as a king when God just freed you from Egypt? Why would you want to be enslaved by the ones God just saved you from? And so in Isaiah 6, Isaiah is caught up in heaven, and there's this scene where he's seeing these perfect beings covering their bodies with every wing they have because they're in the presence of Almighty God. And Isaiah looks at that and says, man, I am a man of unclean lips. From a people of unclean lips, I got no business being here. And the Bible says that the angel took tongs and grabbed a coal off the altar. The angel didn't have anything to heal him from. The altar had something to heal him from. And so they took the coal from the altar with tongs. They didn't touch it, with tongs. And they placed it on the place that Isaiah had identified as his problem. You see, when you're in the presence of the Father, He has the answer for your problem. But you've got to recognize your problem. And then you've got to know that the only answer is to spend time with God. Turn to Psalm chapter 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Why is it he doesn't sit with scoffers and stand with sinners? Why is it he doesn't do that? He ain't got no time. He's too busy meditating on God's word. Notice he didn't say he meditated in the morning and the evening, day and night. I don't have time to hang out just hanging out with sinners. I ain't got time to gossip about folks in the barbershop. Why? Because I got things I got to do spending time with my Savior. Now, that's what Psalm 1 says. That is not what John Minton does. John Minton spends a lot of time at the barbershop. Now, I try to tell people about Jesus, but don't get me wrong, I waste a lot of time. Some of you are like, you know, John, what I love about you is you're always telling people about Jesus. When you see me, that may be true, but my wife sees me other places. All of us have areas we fail greatly. This man meditates on God's word day and night. He will be like, I love this, it says, not he is like, come on, say this with me, he will be. Not he is, but he will be. See, listen, you and I, this isn't a, go spend time with God tonight and it'll all go away. If you meditate on God's word day and night, if it is what identifies you as a person, you will be like this. What is it you will be? You'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. And its leaves do not wither, and whatever it does, he prospers. I used to drive with a fishing pole in the back of my car all the time. The reason I did that is because anytime I was driving a long way that I didn't know where I was going, if I saw a line of trees, I would find a back road. Because you know what line of trees means? It means a river. You know what river normally means? Unless you're in Madagascar, it means fish. If you're in Madagascar, it means no fish. So, no. So if I saw trees, I pulled off to find the river. If I saw a tree firmly planted beside the water, you know what I would expect it to look like? I expect it to be green. I expect it to have fruit on it. I expect it to look really good. If I saw a tree in the middle of nowhere that looked good, there's only one explanation as far as I'm concerned. There must be water under it. Something. Somebody's watering it. Somebody's doing something. If I saw a tree on the side of a lake that was withering, it can only mean one thing for me. What is it? It's sick. It has a disease. Is it possible to live by streams of water and die? Absolutely. All you got to do is have a sickness that you're not willing to do anything about. You can be in a church like this one. I love this church. Pastor, I love you. I love what this church stands for. I love that you can come here and hear truth every time you walk in the door. But listen to me closely. The truth won't set you free if you don't accept the truth. We have a responsibility to obey that which we've heard. And you can be, you can firmly plant your life in this church and be sick, and not just sick to the point you die, but sick and make other people sick with you if you're not here for the right reason. I want to be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water that bears fruit. And according to this, that's going to happen when I meditate on God's word day and night. The wicked, by the way, are not so. They're like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Go back to John 5. And in light of John 5 and Revelation 3, I want you to imagine your life today. John chapter 4, Jesus says to the woman at the well, "Give me some water." And Jesus said, well, she said, "Why did you ask me? I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew, we shouldn't even be talking." And Jesus said, "If you knew who I was, you'd ask me for water. And man, I'd give you water that springs to life eternal in you." And she's like, "Ooh, give me some of that water so I don't have to come back here again." You remember the story? This water that springs to life. You know, that's what the man laying beside the pool wanted. He wanted the water to come to life, because if the water could come to life and he could get in it, he could be well. And then you take that to the church and say, Revelation 3, Jesus says, "I know that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked, and I'm the only answer. But you've got to be sitting on the edge with me, meditating on my word day and night, wanting to have water springing to life from within you. Water that you can't get with a water bucket and a rope. You can only get this water from the Spirit of the one who is the water. And so you must be continually filled." I know I've told this before, but it's my favorite example of the man who was in a revival. And the first day of the revival, man, the guy preached hard, and man came from the back. He says, "Pastor, I just want to be filled with the Spirit. Bible says be continually filled. I want to be filled with the Spirit." And so, man, they prayed on, and he left running and leaping and praising God. Second night he came up and he said, "I want to be filled with the Spirit of God." They filled him. And on the way out, man, he's praising God. On the last day of the revival, he's come every single night. On the last day, he gets to the pastor. He says, "Man, I just want to be filled." And the little old lady in the back said, "Pastor, don't do it. He leaks." Man, is that a true statement or is that a true statement? It ain't he leaks, it's I leak. But listen to me. You're either leaking the Spirit of God, meaning you're losing the filling every day, losing your joy every day, losing the emotion of what it's like to be loved by a living God. You're either leaking or you're overflowing. There is no and, if, or but. It's just like a church. A church is either growing or a church is dying. A church is either healthy, therefore it will grow, or it is sickly, and it doesn't matter how close to the water it is, the sickness will kill the tree and everything around it. Do you want to be well? When the man gave the answer, even though it was an excuse, "Yeah, I want to be well, but I can't get in, and I got no time, and my kids are angry, and my wife's no good, and I've been divorced 4 times, and the church gave up on me, and I got tattoos, and I got long hair, and no, I got short hair, I cut my hair, I wear jeans and holes in them, I wear boots." You don't wear boots, you're not even a cowboy, you shouldn't even be here. "I don't have a cowboy hat. Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do because I don't look anything like they look." Give your excuse today. And Jesus will say the same thing to you he said to this man. You want to be well? Get up. Get up. Take your stuff and come on. Luke 9:23 says, if any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow. Follow. Where are we going, Lord? You know where we're going? We're going to heaven. Does everybody know that? Maybe you don't go in there. I'm going there. I've been listening to the Billy Graham channel for 3 days now. Y'all didn't know that's on? 145 in Sirius. This whole week's been nothing but Billy Graham sermons. One of the reasons I had a problem with what I wanted to preach on today is because I've been listening to Billy Graham all week. Here's what he said. He said, when I die, don't you even wonder where I am. I'm going to heaven. And if you want to go there, there's only one way. You must be clean. And the only way to get clean is to start out by saying, I'm unclean. Unclean, Father, unclean. I need Jesus in my life to make me clean, and he'll make you clean. But church, just because you're clean doesn't mean the work is over. Now you need to be made well. Why? Because listen, if you're a Christian who is sick, you will cause everything around you to die, whether you like it or not. If you leak, you will cause others to leak. If you're overflowing, you will cause others to be overflowing. You've got to remember where it is we're headed. I'm going to heaven. I've told you this before. So many times the Lord just continues to say it to me. It is so depressing sometimes. When the Lord will just stop and say, John, did you know you're going to die? Yes, why do you have to keep telling me that? Like, is it today? But that is the continual reminder from my Father to me. Because if you're going to die, then why not live like you're going to die tomorrow? You know, if I told you all you're going to die tomorrow, your bucket list would get short and fast. Some of you would be calling some friends and family, telling them about Jesus because you know you wouldn't have tomorrow. And by the way, if that's not your first response to tell people about Jesus, then maybe your response is the wrong one to start with. If I had the cure to cancer, I can promise you I would tell the world today. But here's the thing, cancer will kill every person. But everyone that dies of cancer who's in Christ will come back to life. But anyone who dies, the real reason we die and have cancer is because of sin, amen? And if I have the cure for sin and don't tell anybody, what a sorry, wretched man I am. And here's what's sad. I heard somebody this week say, you know, I've got a friend, and they were with him, and he said, well, I told him already he's going to hell. I'm thinking, how is that euangelion? How is that good news? That's like the guy one time, was a guy and his girlfriend were at a revival, and he wasn't a Christian. She's like, I've got to get him to know Jesus. And when the sermon's over, he didn't walk forward, and she pulled out a lighter and burned his arm. He said, what are you doing? She said, if you think that's hot, hell's going to suck, you better give your life to Jesus. But listen to me. You know, hell's not the motivator for people to give their lives to Jesus. Heaven should be. But the problem is, most of us don't have our eyes fixed on heaven. We've got our eyes fixed on Kentucky Fried Chicken. Most of us don't have our eyes fixed on God's Word. We've got our eyes fixed on our neighbors and our wife and our friends and our kids. We want to know, how do I make sure my kid knows Jesus? Here's how. Make sure you're so in love with Jesus that it rubs off on your kids. How can I make my wife change into a godly woman? Here's how. Turn into a godly man. How do I make my grandfather? How do I make people who are so much older than me? There is nothing I can do to help them. Listen to me. I have heard over and over and over again, and I know he won't get a big head. I've heard over and over and over again in this church, people who are in their 70s and 80s saying that Jimmy and his life for Christ has encouraged them to become more in love with Jesus. If a 35-year-old can excite, and he's not a pastor, he's a 6-month-old believer. If he can excite people, then so can you. And it doesn't matter how old you are, how ugly you are, how pretty you are, how fat you are, how skinny you are. If you're in love with Jesus, it is contagious. Church, do you want to be well? You got to spend time with the Lord. And you got to keep your eyes on where we're headed. realizing that if I go to every day and they hurt my feelings, I'm going to die one day and it won't make much difference anymore. If I go and do, I'm sharing my fears with you. If I go there and have to work my tail off and yet I get hurt like I did in my first church that I went to, it will still be worth it because I obeyed the Father. And I kept my eyes on Him and not the circumstances. We've got to keep our eyes on the road that sets before us. Paul said, I've run the race. We just watched the Apostle Paul together as men in the church. It was amazing. An amazing movie filled with scripture of Paul just quote after quote after quote. But I was so reminded that Paul was like, look, it's not about vengeance. It's not about my way. It's not about your way. It's about staying true to the calling of Christ Jesus. Because I've got my eyes fixed on the road. And my road is set straight. And so I want to have my dad come. My mom's going to play a song for us. It's funny that I decided I was going to put this in anyway on the way in. Somebody said, can you sing Glory Road? I said, don't worry, it's already in there. We want to sing this for you tonight just to close, and then I'm going to say a couple more words. But here's the thing. If you want to be well, you've got to make a decision to confess your sin. First of all, you got to be clean. You got to make sure that Jesus is Lord of your life. If you've never said, Jesus, you are the Lord, and said that with your mouth, you are not His child. Don't care how much you've done all the other religious things. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is the Lord, and believe in your heart God raised from the dead, you will be saved. So that has to come first to be clean. But then if you're in Christ and you're struggling with the idea of being well, today, if you want to be well, get up and spend time with the Father. Spend time day and night meditating on His Word and keep your eyes fixed on the glory road.
I got to get these words.
Here we go.
Is the road you're traveling dark, deserted or dim? Is there hope for tomorrow? Put your trust in Him. Oh, this road I'm traveling, many times I stumble on my way. But praise the Lord, I'll soon be leading to that land of perfect peace and I can see the lights of home. Jesus on His throne. I'm too near to turn back now. Oh, praise the Lord.
In that fair land, I'll take my stand.
I'm going to take my stand.
It's good to be on this road for glory land.
I can see the lights of home. I can see Jesus on His throne. I'm too near to turn back now. Oh, praise the Lord.
I'm heaven bound.
When my journey here shall end, I'm going to say goodbye to a world of sin.
In that fair land, I'll take my stand.
I'm going to take my stand. It's good to be on this road for glory land.
So if you're on the road to glory land, then keep your eyes fixed on Him, the author and the perfecter of your faith. And today, make a decision to stop trying to fix your life and just spend time with the One who recreated your life.